We're back to the Neil Haley Show. And I tell you, my guest today is really interesting in the fact that he's done so many interesting things. He trains people, helps CEOs, helps executives, but also his background before is quite interesting. So I'm excited to welcome author Todd Churches. And Todd is going to talk about, he's the CEO of Big Blue Gumball. How are you today, sir?
I'm great. Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about specifically Enough. What made you want to be an entrepreneur? What was the big thing that's driven you in entrepreneurship?
Well, if you look in the Guinness Book of World Records under a person who has had the worst bosses who've ever set foot on this planet, you'll find my picture. So after working for so many horrible managers, what I call boss holes, I just realized that I just couldn't work for anyone anymore. So after my last full-time job, actually I had a great boss at my last job, so I just want to say that. But I got laid off in 2010. I said, no more bosses for me. I'm starting my own company, and I've been solo since 2010.
And that's the greatest feeling in the world when you decide I'm out, right? That's it.
Yeah, it was hard. It's scary because there's no paycheck. There's no benefits. It's like, you know, sink or swim, and, you know, sell or you don't eat. So it's
right. It's a constant. And that's the fun part once you get used to it, because at least you know you're not relying on a paycheck. You say, you know what? I got to go out and continue to serve my clients well. And find new people and find interesting people. And I think at first it's scary to people, but once you know you're in control of it, it's fine.
Yeah, it's hard, especially even though I talk loud and fast because I'm a New Yorker, I'm an extreme introvert. I always say I'm a 3Bs guy, a back of the room, behind the scenes bookworm by nature. So if you're seeing this on video, I have a gigantic bookcase behind me. I've been reading an average of one business book a week since 1998.
That's so fantastic.
However many years that is, it adds up to over 1,200 business books. So if I could get paid just for reading, that would be my ideal job. But no one's paying me for that. So
let's talk about learning. How important is learning? You know, I took a talents test, and my number one talent is ideation, according to Gallup. Yeah. Then strategy is number two, communication is five, and then I'm a competitor and achiever. And that's my five top talents. And I think learner is probably, if you took it, would be number one, because you really know if you learn, you're going to be best for your clients. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen some video, but I keep this little Curious George doll on my desk just to remind me to always be curious, always ask why. I'm constantly looking stuff up on dictionaries. I'm very big on word origins, etymology.com. I'm always looking up the root origins of words. So yeah, I'm a constant lifelong learner, reader. So yeah, that's what I'm all about. And I try to find teachable moments in everything. And I try to instill that in my students as well, that there are lessons hiding in plain sight if we just remember to look for them and keep our eyes open for them.
All right. So tell me about your book, Visual Leadership. What does visual leadership mean and why'd you write it?
Sure. My book, Visual Leadership, is the subtitle is Leveraging the Power of Visual Thinking in Leadership and in Life. And visual thinking, very simply in a nutshell, which is a metaphor, by the way, which is a big part of visual thinking, it's about thinking in pictures as opposed to in words or numbers. So I always talk about facts, figures, and feelings. Facts is information, figures are numbers, feelings are emotions. People make decisions or are influenced by emotions and feelings, not by facts and figures. But when you combine all three together, facts, figures, and feelings, that's how you can communicate, get ideas out there, and influence people. So if you want to be a thought leader, you need to think about not only the thought part, which is the ideas and the ideation, but the leadership part, which is about influence and getting your ideas out there into the world in an effective way. So my catchphrase is, how do you get people to see what you're saying? How do you get people, how do you get an idea out of your head and into someone else's? And you could do that through using my visual thinking and visual communication techniques that I talk about in the book and in my TED talk on the power of visual thinking.
And so I'm still going to ask a follow-up question about visual thinking. Give me an example of visual thinking.
Sure. I break it down into four categories. Category one is using visual imagery, which is pictures and or drawing, right? So, you know, the saying a picture is worth 1,000 words. If I explain something to you, that's one thing. If I show it to you, that's another thing. So it's show, don't tell. So if you think about show and tell, going back to grade school, that's what it's about. So one is using visual imagery, pictures and drawing, if appropriate. Category two is using mental models and frameworks. We always talk about thinking outside the box, but you can't think outside the box until you have a box and something in it. So the world is messy and complex. If we could find a way to put things into categories and create processes and structures and systems, then we could see things more clearly and find other so out of the box solutions that maybe we hadn't thought about. So those are categories 1 and 2. Category 3 is using metaphors and analogies, saying something is like something else. If I say to you, Neil, I'm talking about all this today during the show, but this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? We all know that what that means. The tip of the iceberg is what we know and see, but we know there's 90% more that we don't know and see that's beneath the surface, right? So just that one metaphor, if you use tip of the iceberg, you're talking in visual imagery in a way that we do it so often, we don't even realize it. And category 4 is using storytelling with bonus points for humor, right? You could say to someone, do this or don't do this, but if you're a leader and you say, let me tell you about the worst experience I ever had when I had your job, people are going to be on their edge of their seat, right, waiting to hear your story. So Bill Nye, the Science Guy, says everyone you will ever meet knows something you don't. So our job as leaders is to not just be storytellers, but good story listeners, and help to pull out from other people, like you're doing today with me, pull out from other people their stories so that people can learn from them.
Exactly. And that's interesting that that's part of visual leadership. And the type of people that you see that really are lacking visual leadership, who do you think it is? It's more the CEO type? Is it the you know, solopreneur? What do you see with visual?
Yeah, I think you know, in the 4 categories, some people gravitate more towards the visual that we take in through our eye. But they also say you can see things through your ear. If you listen for metaphors and listen for stories, those are ways to communicate. Like if someone's listening to this on radio, they may be visualizing. Here's a real life example. I'm a big baseball fan, Mets and Yankees, both having great years this year.
I know.
Sometimes I'm listening to the game in the car and I'll hear the announcer, John Sterling, will say something. I'll say to my wife who's driving, I'll say, wow, did you see that play? And she said, where? Like on the radio. I'm watching the game in my head.
Yeah.
I know what the, right? You're watching, I watch it in my head almost as if I'm watching it on TV. That's a great example of visual thinking, right? Shakespeare in Hamlet, when Hamlet said, I think I see my father. He saw the ghost of his father in his mind's eye. What does it mean to see something in your mind's eye? Shakespeare coined that phrase, right? So we could see something with our physical eye, but we could also see something in our mind's eye.
And that's where you're listening to the person and trying to draw out specific things. When I talk to my clients and I come up with a, you know, brand story or certain things, I listen and say, oh, that I'm visually coming up with an idea. And then that's where you use visual leadership when you're taking notes in your head, right? I don't have questions prepared. I have certain questions and I lead based on answers. And then I want to tell a story. And then I'm able to come up with the next by formulating things all through my head in a story. So that's visual leadership. Interesting thing. Because a lot of people, you know, if they're listening or not based on the answer of your question, right? You're able to, because of your expertise in visual leadership, say, hey, I just answered that question, or I just explained something to them and they didn't get it. They're not using visual leadership. They're, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so that's what I was going to say. We're already doing this previously. Now you're just more aware of it. And if you're more aware of it, you can be more strategic. And I was talking about visual leadership tools, tips, and techniques. You can do it much more intentionally and much more effectively if you do it with intention and purpose. So real life example, I wrote an article for Inc. magazine called Can You Draw What Your Company Does? So if you just Google that, can you draw what your company does in Inc., you'll find it. So the exercise is I have people get up to a whiteboard or flip chart and they have to draw, and without speaking, draw what it is that your company does. How do you explain what you do and how you're better than the competition? One guy, this was a pharmaceutical company, a sales guy drew a big whale eating all these little goldfish. He said, this is us eating up the competition. But the vice president said, this is not accurate because some of our competitors are bigger than us. So it's not like they're goldfish and we're whales. It's more like, and he thought for a second, he said, it's more like they're sharks and we're dolphin. And here's why. They just want to bite off the business and leave the customer bleeding dry and swim away. We're dolphin. We're smart. We're communicative. We're funny. We're fun. We're cuddly. We're friendly. So we had a whole debate and discussion about what kind of fish or mammal or whatever they were. But once they identified the dolphin as their mascot and their brand, then they say, how can we be more dolphin-like as opposed to more shark-like? That's our competitive advantage. So just in that one story I just told, I'm sure you could picture it in your mind. Yeah. And it helped them to redefine who they were and how they wanted to interact with their clients. So that's,
and you've just given me on the cusp of just a little bit of what visual leadership is. But the best piece, people purchase your book. So where can they go to purchase a book and learn more about you? Where can they go, Todd?
Sure, anywhere. Go to toddchurches.com if you want to see my TED Talk and learn more about my book. Or you could just go right to Amazon. And it's visual leadership, one word with a single shared capital L. And the reason being is for that word, which I have a patent on now, is that who you are and how you lead is inseparable from the lens through which you see the world.
All right. Well, fantastic. We appreciate it, Todd. I'm interested now. I'm going to always think, well, what is when I'm visually thinking things, I'm going to think of Todd Churches. There you go. By coining that phrase, by getting that visual leadership, that's yours. That's your baby. And no one else should take it. I appreciate it, Todd. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.